What's happening, friends? Hello, welcome to another edition of On Time with me, Bobby Bones. I am your host, Bobby Bones. I have been described, for those of you that don't know me, as he's what you get if you were to take Clay Aiken and Weezer and put them together and subtract all the talent. That's me. And I'm no treat by myself. That's probably not why you're watching this, but I got some amazing people stopping by the show. We have my friend Gary LaVox of Rascal Flatts stopping by. He's going to play us a song. We also have new artist Lainey Wilson stopping by. She's going to play some music too. She's also on the way to becoming a big old star. So we have music, we have guests, we're going to play some games. You guys can also write questions in the box and I'll ask some of them too. So, and if you're really lucky, I'll show you guys my third nipple. See, you'll even learn some things about me. But before we get to our guests, I always like to kick things off with the shortest monologue in all the land. Just wham, bam, thank you for the question. Thank you for the joke, ma'am. It's three quick jokes that we've appropriately titled Three Jokes for the Folks. Here we go. Joke number one. Scientists are warning us that it's time to bust out the earplugs as trillions of cicadas are emerging from their 17-year-long hibernation to mate. 17 years, that's not so bad. Listen, it's been 41 for me. I haven't mated yet. You don't see me swarming all over the place? See, I'm saving that for my wedding night. That's a sexy wink. Moving on to joke number two. It's being reported in Canada that fans are being contacted by profiles pretending to be Chad Kroeger, the lead singer of Nickelback. Some have said the fake profile has asked them for money in the form of Bitcoin or iTunes gift cards, as if Nickelback fans didn't have it rough enough already. Wait till they realize it is actually Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. That's right. And finally, joke number three, Target announced they will stop the sale of Pokemon cards after a man pulled a gun during a fight over trading cards in their parking lot. They described the event as the nerdiest felony in the history of American crime. He actually asked the police, can I have my mommy come pick me up from jail? Gotta love America. The only place where it's easy to buy a gun in the store, but impossible to buy Pokemon cards. That's right. Hit that music. There it is. Those are three jokes for the folks. Thank you very much. Is the music still going or am I just making the music? All right, before we get to our first musical guest, let me check in with my fiance, Caitlin. That's right, here she comes. You can follow her on Instagram at Kate C. Parker and later go check out her episode of Running Wild with Bear Grylls that we did. She's going to walk through that door at any time. There she is. Thank you. Come on in, have a seat.
Thank you.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. How's your day been?
Great. It's been great.
And what did you do this afternoon?
This afternoon? What time does that start?
I don't know. That's a good
Literally
question.
Literally afternoon, like at 1?
4, 5?
Oh, I went to a spin class.
How'd that go?
Around 5. It was great.
When we spin and I'm beside you, do you watch how fast I'm going? Do you compare the output that you feel like you're putting out versus mine? Because I feel like you dominate me, I'll be honest.
I feel like that as well, but I don't really watch you that much.
Well, I watch
I
you the whole time.
I just noticed you're not doing the moves.
But here, I don't do the dance moves because I can't keep up.
Right.
Here's what I've learned about this spin class. Mm-hmm. I put my grind on too hard. Mm-hmm. And when I'm pedaling hard, I can't do the dance moves with my arms mm-hmm. on the right pace.
Right.
And so as you guys are all nailing them, I'm off. But yeah. I'm still getting a pretty good workout
it's
a in.
Sophie's choice there.
How did, interesting analogy, how did class go today?
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good instructor, high energy, was packed. I got to ride next to someone I know, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Did you see Gary LaVox out in the waiting room?
I did. Yeah.
And?
I waved at him. I had to come in here. I would have loved to stop by and chatted for a bit, but I just got a quick wave in and had to get right in here for my interview.
Do you feel solid about the wave?
I think he liked it. He smiled.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it's awkward because you're like, I think you probably know who I am. Like,
well, yeah,
we've met several times.
Yes.
But you just never know. So I didn't want to be too like.
He hung out at the house multiple times with his wife.
He's a big star.
He is a big star. Is there anything you want me to ask him when he comes in? Any question? He's a big star. You want to ask him off camera?
Yeah, something.
What?
I'll text. I'm not going to ask. I'm on camera. I'll text it to you.
Does it have to do with him being naked?
No.
Last night we watched our episode of Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
Which people can still watch right now at nationalgeographic.com.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about your performance?
My performance, like how I did on camera.
Yeah, how you came off.
Eh,
You didn't love it?
I mean, I just don't like to watch myself, so I didn't love it, but I am very proud of myself for doing it. So I think those are two different things. How did I feel about my performance? Meh. How did I feel about what I accomplished?
What was it like doing that episode?
Awful. Scary. Cold. Scary. Terrifying.
It really wasn't fun, right?
No, there wasn't one bit of it that was fun.
The only good thing about the actual time there was Bear.
Right.
Because he is the greatest.
Right. In the moment, the only good thing was Bear. After it, it's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all fun. It's all a great memory. Happy we did it.
People loved it, though. I felt like it was a good response.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
You were the star of the show. Belle of the ball.
I was not the star of the show.
People, big float in the parade.
No. People just see you a lot, and they don't see me a lot. So that's why I'm sure you're feeling that way.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it should have just been you. Next season, you go alone. Oh, and I don't want that because you really like Bear.
No. No, I don't want to go alone. But I'm happy I did it. I'm happy that I stood up to a fear of mine. I'll just tell you a little story. Today I was in spin and my instructor was talking about kind of how she started her spin class. And I know this is probably cliche and we all know this saying, but she was saying, when you feel scared about something, just do it scared. And that's what I want to do from now on. I just want to do it scared, regardless of what it is. I don't need to work up courage to do it. I just need to do it scared. And that's what I did the whole time during Bear Grylls. Sorry, I got distracted because Mike D was taking a picture. And I was like, oh, Mike, do you need me to look at you?
Oh, yeah. Is she good?
You good?
Okay.
So anyway, for any of you that are actually watching this, whatever you're thinking that you want to do, but you don't feel like you have the courage and you're like, oh, maybe I'll have the courage in a week. Maybe I'll have the courage in a couple weeks. You won't. So do it scared.
That's okay. You don't have to have the courage.
Totally.
Sometimes you only get courage by fighting through fear.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. I like how you just address the camera. You just totally take over and you turn right to the camera.
I was telling them.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
I don't know if it could help anybody.
Mike D has written some questions for me to ask. Would you like to answer them?
Would I?
Yeah. What kind of sleeper is Bobby?
A flailer.
Elaborate.
That kind of a thing. Like, I like that. Or like sometimes you talk in your sleep or you wake up and you request me to hug you.
Sometimes I do that. I wake up and I'm like, oh, I can't go to sleep. Will you hug me?
No, he goes like, hug me.
I do.
Mike's giggling.
I do. And then she's Big Spoon and I'm Little Spoon. I don't care. It's the only way I get to sleep. I don't let her put her hand on my stomach though. Or near my stomach. Because I'm embarrassed of my stomach.
Because he has body dysmorphia. And we're working through that.
So she can put her arm over me, but it has to be like up here.
Yeah, it's got to be shoulder or like pit.
Yeah, and pit. Never it ends up not with a great smell in the morning on your hand. What song do you love to sing in the car?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
What song do I love to sing in the car?
I'll tell you right now. Got my driver's license last week.
No, that's so 2 months ago.
Okay, sorry.
If it was a right now. Well, my staple really is Adore You by Harry Styles. But Olivia Rodrigo actually has a new song out called Good For You, and it's really good. Check it out.
Did you ever consider changing your last name to Bones, even on Instagram?
Not one time.
Okay. And final question, what's the one thing you learned about Bobby in the last week?
In the last week... Mike, that's tough. What did I learn about you in the last week? That you are very willing to help me with wedding things such as meetings, if I will just ask you.
Yeah, and we went to Crate and Barrel and did some poop poop on the board.
You gotta stop saying where we went to register.
Sorry about
that. We're out of gifts at this point. Like people have bought them all, and now my parents have nothing to get us, so... We need to like chill out on the details, bud.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was pretty good at the boop boops though, right?
Yeah, scanning. You were great.
Yeah. I scanned boop boops. Did you scan your stuff, Mike?
No, I did it online.
You did register it online?
Yeah.
She went back and did some registering online. And as soon as we finished, she went right to the registry and Eddie had already bought us a juicer before we even got to drove home.
Eddie was so generous. Like the, oh my gosh, wait, time out. Can you send me where you're
We don't have a gift for you yet.
Okay.
Because I've asked him to ask you and I know he hasn't, and I didn't want to ask Kelsey because I know she has like 9,000 things on her plate. So can you send that?
All right. Thank you, Mike. There she is, my fiance and yours.
Just yours.
Just mine. Yeah. Caitlin Parker, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for always being our first guest.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Only three more episodes to go. Bye.
Three?
Yeah, we're doing, it's a six pack. Yeah. All right. We go over in the chat. We got a lot of people over here that are like, is this where Gary LaVox is going to be on? It is, momentarily. That's from Kat McQueen. Kel Zach said, Gary put the wrong URL on Facebook, so people are going to something else. I don't know. All right, here we go. Let's welcome my first guest. Well, musical guest. He's the lead singer of Rascal Flatts and will soon be releasing his first ever Christian solo album. He has the voice of an angel and the only guy I know who works out in full camouflage. I've seen it with my own eyes. Welcome to the show, Gary LaVox. Thank you. Thank you. What's in your hand?
I was doing some live reading. I was feeling lonely, but it says I'm not lonely if you're reading this book.
That's true. Did you grab it from out there, really?
I really did.
Oh, nice. Did me sign that for you?
Yes, that's why I brought it.
Nice. Okay. Oh, by the way, Gary brought merch for me. There's a brand. LaVoxware.
Yeah, LaVoxware.
You broke, really struggling. You need to.
I'm just trying to catch up with the bones. That's all I'm trying to do.
But these are cool. I do love the logo.
Thanks.
Like, what? Who designed this?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did, really.
Here's Freedom Farms. What's Freedom Farms?
That's my farm outside of Nashville.
I will wear this black one.
Yeah, okay, well, good. I brought them for you.
You'll sell many, and you'll be able to pay your mortgage.
That's right.
Which is the goal.
That.
You're even wearing a wristband. Now, why a wristband in the evening on a internet talk show?
Well, you know what? It just I know how you have to turn all the air conditioners off, and it gets hot, and so I dap.
Okay.
You know, because you made me wear makeup and things, and I can dap.
I do. Okay. On to the real questions at hand here.
Okay.
Why a solo album, and why did you start with a Christian album?
Why a solo album? Because Joe Don came to us one day and said that he wanted to be home more. Said he was burnt and he's burnt out.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so that kind of, we were like, okay, all right, we respect that. And so I had already kind of planned on doing one. And didn't really know when it was going to happen because, you know, Flatts, we've been 1,000 miles a minute for 20 years. And so when Joe Don told us that, we were like, okay, well, that opens it up. And I always wanted to do a gospel record. I always did. And it just, all of it kind of came together, and here we go. And then Friday, it drops. Friday, the EP drops.
Were you shocked? And I do want to get to the EP because I heard a lot of it. Heck, you played some unreleased stuff on my house like 3 months ago. So I've kind of, you know, been through the process. But did you expect Joe Don to come and be like, hey guys, we got to take a break?
No, I really didn't. I mean, not really, because that was year 19 and we had a lot of things booked for the 20 year and everything else with trying to put the farewell tour together. And we had a lot of things set up with, the Grammys and CMAs and all this kind of, to kind of just celebrate the 20 years that we had together, you know, and all the accomplishments that we've done. And then the pandemic hit. So no, it was kind of out of left field and, you know, but what can you do?
Did you and Jay ever go, hey, we'll just do this as a duo? Was it even a conversation?
It was a conversation. But Jay had started, that little Christian label, the independent label called Red Street Records, and he wanted to make a go with that. And I was like, well, that's cool. So I was like, you know, I feel like my platform is the stage, and I still have so much music to make. And so I just stayed on my artist route. And I stick with what you're good at, and that's what I wanted to do. And so
did you feel like you needed a break for a bit though after this, where you're like, I need to just kind of recalibrate. I did not expect this. I've spent the last 20 years being a flat.
Uh-huh.
Did you have any nights where you're like, when, what is about to happen? Or were you like, okay, this actually gives me an opportunity to go chase this solo record?
It was both, actually. It was sad. It was disheartening. It was exciting. It was, you know, it was kind of everything at once, because everything I've known for half of my life is now going to be changed and going to be different. So, but it gave me, you know, gave me the time to really lock in. And, you know, not only did I do a gospel record, but I've already recorded a solo country record that comes out in the fall. So just threw myself into my music and just let it be. Let you know, you got to play the hands that are dealt sometimes.
So the record comes out Friday.
Yeah. It's called One on One.
Why One on One?
Well, it's kind of, I think, just me doing a gospel record, just me and my faith walk with the Lord, and it's the first time that it's just been me. I mean, I've been the face of Flats for 20 years, and now it's just one-on-one, me and him and me and the fans. So just kind of made sense.
Do you plan to go out and play any of these songs live?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be doing all the flat stuff, and
that's the question, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to sing the flat stuff.
Yeah,
I think you should.
Yeah,
I think if I went out, I'd want to hear some of the new stuff. But if I'm going to see, you know, the face of the Flats,
yeah,
dang it, sing the Flats.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
So what do you do as far as a band? You just get your buddies that know the songs?
No, it's actually the same. It's actually all the Rascal Flatts band. Jim Riley's my drummer. Travis Toya plays steel and everything else. He's still with me. And so it's the actual Flats band, just minus Jay and Jodon. Got a new bass player, and you know, my keyboard player sings all the high stuff Jodon sang, and so it's the same band, just minus Jay and Jodon.
I mean, we'd really get the full experience if you kind of dressed them up to look like them, and then we know they're not. But no. You know, you still like color the hair. You know, even throw them back to old school when like Jodon, you know, had the long.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
no sleeves.
Yeah, just maybe just a vest.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
When you look back, I was looking at some old school pictures of you guys. I mean, you guys were, now it's normal, but style-wise, you were extremely different than the format.
Yeah.
Were you guys getting a lot of the pushback from the old school Nashville folks at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think anything new in country, I think you always do. Plus, we came in at the tail end of the whole boy band thing, and so all that kind of played into it. But, you know, I mean, we're sitting there like, you know, what? We're not cowboys, you know? I mean, we live that lifestyle, you know? I mean, I'm as country as cornbread is what
they
get.
Which is crazy, because you are. But, I mean, Gary legitimately is significantly more country, and it's usually the opposite, right? People will come in and act a little more,
right,
show a little more country than they really are.
Yeah.
It's like you're the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, you come out, you're straight ahead, you gel, you put your hair product in, you sing, but when we're done here, he's in camo, and he's like, hey, man, come out to the farm. And I'm like, that's an hour and a half away. He's like, no, man, we'll just sit on the porch and, like, spit at cows. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're Gary LaVox. So, but you do live it, and you hunt constantly?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way I grew up. But, you know, it's like there. But it's just who I am. You know, you just got to be real to who you are. And, you know, but it's like, I've never roped a calf, you know? I'm not going to sit out and put a cowboy hat on and try to play up to something that I'm not, you know? So
I wasn't here in Nashville when you guys broke,
mm-hmm,
and when you guys were winning the Grammys. Like, mm-hmm, I wasn't here, and I was actually, I mean, probably 20s. Yep. And would watch on TV and was a fan, and we would start to play. I was working on pop radio too at the time. Yep. We were playing some of your stuff over there.
Yeah.
So I missed the impact you guys had on Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys king dingling of the town for a while?
We really had just kind of held the torch for, yeah, I mean, a long time, really. I mean, 2006, we outsold everybody in the world that put a record out in any genre of music, you know? So, and I remember being at the Grammys up against Beyonce and Mary J. Blige and Kanye and Jay-Z, and we were like, it doesn't matter if we win or not. We outsold everybody in this room. That's you can't even fathom that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we had that's made the Guinness book with, you know, 7 consecutive CMA vocal group. I mean, all that stuff is just mind blowing. We were kind of top dog there for a minute, for sure.
Were you in Entertainer of the Year?
No, never.
Which is crazy to me, because I was gonna let you answer no, because I knew the answer. I looked it up.
Yeah.
The fact that you weren't allowed or they didn't put you in that when you were the actual entertainers of,
yeah,
not just country music, but you said it, you were outselling everybody. I think even as the success was happening, I still would have had some sort of resentment, like, hey, why aren't you guys putting us, because we're not wearing cowboy hats? Is that why?
Yeah. We were upset about it. We thought it was well deserved. I mean, it's like, you know, we're the first band to ever play Wrigley Field. First country concert to ever play Wrigley. I mean, at that time, it's like we'd sold out 4 different tours at Madison Square Garden. And hey, we were doing big stuff. And it was like, every year we weren't an entertainer. And it's like, what? How does that even happen? You know, it's like, then you go and it's like you start thinking about that stuff. And then they hand you a plaque for 10 million tickets sold and, you know, all that stuff. It kind of, it sits with you. Not that we weren't, you know, grateful, but, you know, you kind of just sit there and scratch your head like, there's not really anything else we can do.
Like, I would have been, I would have resented the people that make those decisions because it's such an inside bubble decision that's being made. And I would think you guys were so successful, and I've seen this happen to other people in town too.
Yeah.
Sam Hunt, for example, he had a couple years where he was crushing.
Yeah.
Not at the level you guys were, but he wasn't being nominated for anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are we so out of touch? Why do we have to make it that only a certain type of person that we deem,
right,
which removes the power from the people,
right?
And I felt like they removed that with you guys.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I think like single of the year, take the top five singles with the most spins or whatever, and that should be your top five. You know, I mean, it seems easy to me, but that's not the politics of the game, you know.
And as you guys are achieving superstardom, did it ever get to where it was Eagles-like, where you're like, we each have our own dressing rooms, we're just coming out, meeting on stage? Or was there ever a phase like that?
No, you know, the only time there was a phase like that was when we were like, no, because we spent every night in dressing rooms together and all that, but it was buses, you know, because we started having kids and all of that. But that was the only time, but it was like, all right, I'm not picking up your socks, I'm not picking up your food, we are grown men in this place and we're not doing it. So we all got separate buses and everything was great, but no, we spent every night in the dressing room together.
Was there ever, because once you start making big money, you start flying private from shows. Was there ever one of you guys was like, I don't want to spend the flats money on a plane, let's take a bus? Did that ever were you all just like, let's go?
Yeah.
Dang.
Let's go.
What do you get recognized more for? The lead singer of the Flats or the guy whose face is on the moving trucks?
Flats for sure. Flats for sure. Black Tie Movie. It's funny. I get a lot of people around town and stuff. I get more pictures of people like sitting in traffic and something says Black Tie Movie and my face on there. And they're like, dude, what? But no, Flats for sure.
A question that I was going to ask, I know the answer to it because Mike was like, hey, ask him this question, but I'll also help with the answer. He says, do you ever just show up randomly to a house that your company is working on? Let me answer this one. And I don't know if he does randomly, but I hired Black Tie Moving to move me in here, and I get a call going, hey, man, where are you at? I'm like, I'm at the house. He goes, hey, the truck's over there. I'm about to show up. And he drives up right beside his truck. And he came over, and we hung out for like an hour, and he was like, all right, and that was it.
Making sure nobody broke anything, because I never hear the end of it.
And he was in a white tie. He wore the tuxedo, too. It was the whole thing. I mentioned, and we'll get to some music in a second, but I mentioned, and it's a true story. It's my favorite story because it was before I knew you as a person, but we lived in the same neighborhood, and there's a little gym in our neighborhood, and I was working out, and when I don't wear my glasses, I can't see anything, and I was doing some cardio, and there's some guy that kind of waved at me, but he was in full camo. He was on a bike in full camo, and I was like, and so I put my glasses on, and in full camo, full turkey hunting gear, is Gary going,
hi, Bobby. Are you doing dumbbells? What are you doing?
Would you have an interesting family. I know your daughter, one of your daughter a little bit too.
Yeah.
Would you guys ever do a show, a family show like Jay did?
No. I don't like, I wouldn't want to live with cameras all the time. You know, it's like you. You know, I wouldn't want cameras around me all the time, Bobby. You know, how you take a break and you don't.
You know me. I take a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
Okay, two things I want to bring up, and then we're going to get to the, because it's just things it's better to bring up on camera. It was, like 1 a.m, maybe like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I got a text from you at 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, get in my clubhouse room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't get in your club. I don't even know what you were talking. You were talking about some like foreign money, Bitcoin. I thought it would be like, so I go, okay. I said, I can't. I'm going to get in trouble because Caitlin's asleep next to me.
Yeah.
You're like, just get in the room. It's like, go in your room. And it's like, how to jeopardize Bitcoin's transactional. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is. I thought we were talking about the history of the flats. So I get out, and I text you the next day, and I was like, what were you doing up? You're like, oh, man, we were right until like 1. We got in Clubhouse till like 5 in the morning. Like, you go hard, but in a different way now.
Yeah, right, yeah. I just, yeah, because, you know, just get motivated. I have nothing to do the next day, so now I can stay up all night. It's not like I have to go to work the next day.
My second favorite story just recently happened, where I text Gary, and I said, hey, you haven't RSVP'd to the wedding yet. And Caitlin's kind of on. I've never had a wedding before. Oh, she's yeah, like, hey, because apparently you have to pick out what people eat.
Yeah,
like
right.
People have to go, hey, I said, hey, RSVP to the wedding. And because you said you were coming, I was like, just make it easy on me so I don't have to. And I send the text and nothing. No response. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Gary, we're usually pretty quick with text with each other. I'm like, no problem. Hey, who knows what you're doing, right? Yeah. Could probably be like doing some charitable work. I don't know. Could,
yeah.
I look over on Instagram and he's selling hats. He's selling Gary LaVox hats. And I'm like, I'm watching you. You can't return a text. You got to make $8 selling one of these hats.
I'm like, hey, man. Yeah, I'm RSVP. I had to sign. It was weird because I had to sign those hats because we were leaving for Florida in like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just.
And the 15 seconds of just responding to the text would have totally shifted it all.
No, but I did, though. I was in motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it gets. Mm-hmm.
How do we. Okay, and these hats here, I'm going to wear this one, too. But how do we get this hat?
Just go to GaryLaVox.com. Yep. And it's got all the shirts and hats and wristbands, all LaVox wear stuff.
I do want to try this. I went to the post office today to find a phone book. Because I don't have a
phone book.
Yes. Because you know how they say, Gary can sing the phone book and make it good. You've heard that phrase, right?
Yeah.
I went. There was no phone book. They looked at me like I was stupid. They're like, why do you want a phone book? I was like, well, Gary LaVox is coming to the house. I'd like to hear him sing the phone book. And they were like, I'm sorry, we don't have a phone book. However, I had this.
Oh, snap.
Well, maybe just a couple lines. This is Stock Investing for Dummies. It's the closest thing I had to a phone book.
Oh, okay.
So maybe open it up, sing us a few lines.
All right, let's see what we got here. Once you choose a promising sector, just select large cap companies that are financially strong.
Nice.
Earning a profit, have a low debt, and are market leaders. Oh, this entire book shows you how to do just that. Yeah. However, you may not like the idea of buying stocks directly. No, no, no. Don't buy stocks directly.
There he is. That's great. Fantastic. Which, by the way, I believe that's what I was hearing you talk about in the clubhouse room, singing it the same way. Yeah. Hey, let's bring your guys in.
All right, let's do it.
Gary has some players there. Just bring them on in. I was talking with them earlier. What is that instrument with the funny strings? It's a guitar.
Yeah, it's a dobro.
It's a dobro. Got it.
Dobro.
Sounds like a steel guitar slash acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
It's very loud. The ones that I've seen are very loud. Come on in, guys.
Andy Wood, Travis Toy, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Have a seat. So let me say this again because this will obviously it's seen now. This is going to be up. We're going to put it up in a lot of places. Your new record,
yeah.
Your gospel record, yep. One to One,
yeah. One on One,
One on One,
mm-hmm.
Is out Friday.
Friday.
How many tracks?
5.
So it's an EP.
It's an EP.
Gospel EP.
Yeah.
And
the single's out now.
Yep.
Called The Distance.
I saw the video. You're like in a field.
Yeah. That was at the farm.
I love a good field. That yes, and also you have to stop telling Caitlin we need to come to the farm because she won't leave me alone about it.
I know she's coming. She's
like Gary literally wants us to come, and I'm like Gary's fancy Hollywood. He just says stuff.
No, come on.
Okay, what are we gonna play here?
So we'll play The Distance. We'll play the first single off of it.
All right, here we go. Gary LaVox, you guys check out the record. Let's hear a song.
See the road of life we travel. Has speed bumps, cracks, and detours. When you go left of center, just look up and there's your sign. I know you wanna quit, and the enemy says to give in. But I promise with God you can go the distance, accept the challenge for every battle that's before you. Hope's not lost. Found on a cross and all the strength to push on through. You can make it up the mountain. You can throw away your doubting. Live bold and fearless, cause with God you can go the distance. Lord, don't give up, stand on your faith. Finish the race and break the tape. And go the distance, accept the challenge. For every battle that's before you, hope's not lost, it's found on the cross. And on the strength to push on through, you can make it up the mountain. You can throw away your doubting, live bold and fearless, 'cause with God you can go the distance. You can go the distance.
So one-on-one is available Friday, May 21st. You can actually pre-order at the link in his Instagram bio. You can follow Gary on Instagram at Gary LaVox. That's his only account, because every third post is him going, this is a fake account, and pointing out a fake account. Most of his feed is just him showing fake accounts.
That's right. Get a life, people.
His new album, One-on-One's, available this Friday. Again, pre-order. Hey, listen, I love you. You know that. All seriousness, you're my guy. There he is, Gary, Jay, Joe Don.
We're Rascal Flatts.
Check out the record. I'm excited. Listen, I've heard this record. I've heard none of the country record.
Yeah.
I am excited for you to be fulfilled by this.
Thank you, brother.
And then hit us with that country record in the fall.
Oh, it's coming.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to take a quick break. Gary LaVox, you guys check out the record, and we'll be back in just a minute. Thank you. We're back. Caitlin's back in. Gary's great, huh?
Great.
Yeah. Did you ask him?
No, I got nervous.
Why'd you get nervous? So we're going to make the band at our wedding learn a song. Gary would sing it.
Gary?
He's gone.
Did you leave?
He's gone. Oh. He's still here.
You called. No, you said it.
Gary.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
What's happening?
What's up?
Let's say we happen to teach the band one of your songs at our wedding, and they happen to play it at the reception, but the singer happened to be in the bathroom.
Right.
Who would step up?
Shay.
Oh, no! That's not... That was not the answer.
I'll do it.
Yay! Isn't that hard? Amazing.
What song do you want us to make the band learn?
I'm Moving On.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh.
No,
I'm humiliated.
I mean, it's got to be Broken Road, doesn't it?
It doesn't. No, My Wish, Broken Road.
Anything. Yeah. It's your choice.
Let Go.
Nah, not that one. Nah, oh. Not that one.
That one.
Yeah,
no, oh my
okay.
God.
Anyway, I did a conversation for another time, but probably My Wish, huh?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Because you probably do Broken Road all the time.
Yeah. We want to be unique.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Take Me There.
Oh, Take Me There. So, you know what I really like? I see a dust trail following an old red Nova, baby blue eyes. Yeah, harmonize with me, Gary.
Okay, I'm sorry they called you back, Gary.
Wait, baby, don't move. Right there it is. T-shirt hanging on the wood break. I remember it.
Okay, all right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. You don't look a day over fast cars and freedom. Sunset, riverback, first time. Yeah, you know it.
Okay. Of course he knows it. Okay, both of you, thank you. Gary, Caitlin, thank you very
Are
much.
We both
All right, you're both out of here. You're both kicked out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to bring my next guest in because... Okay. Up next, I want to welcome an artist that is destined to be a superstar. Not only is she just awesome, she's our iHeart Country On The Verge artist. Her song Things A Man Ought To Know is climbing up the country charts right now. She describes her music as country with the flair. She is the best Hannah Montana impersonator that I know. Welcome Lainey Wilson, everybody. Hi, Lainey. Do you get a chance to meet Gary? Had you met him before?
I've never met Gary.
Pretty
until
cool.
Today.
Yeah.
just so normal.
Normal is not the word I would use, but it's so approachable and friendly.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, he just sat down on the couch and we just started talking about a little bit of everything. So
it's interesting to see you now becoming the star that I always felt you would be, because we met years ago. Yep. I was watching Blanco Brown's Gonna Do the Two-Step. I messaged Lainey on Instagram and was like, hey, because you were doing the dance with him.
I did, yeah.
And I said, hey, can you teach me this? And Lainey's like, yeah, sure. She goes, I mean, I'll come over. I said, hey, we'll put you in a video and you can teach us. And you said, I'll call Blanco. And I was like, well, that's extremely nice to her, because I was saying, hey, you could do it. And you're like, no, we'll do one better.
No, we're going to get the real deal involved.
And then you and Blanco came into the house, and then you're like, I don't need to be in the video. And I was like, wow.
Oh, heck no. I was like, people who really know it, y'all get after it. I'm just here to kind of help facilitate.
But it just showed me just how awesome of a person you were.
Thank you, man.
And that you also knew that your time was coming. That wasn't going to be your time.
Yeah.
You had your own reason. Waiting.
Yeah. You know what's funny too, though? Like, we put that video up on YouTube, and I put so many dang videos of me singing on YouTube. And of course, I put one of me dancing. The thing goes viral, and I'm like, well, shoot, I should have been dancing the whole time.
So now to see you blow up has been crazy, because we did our Raging Idiot show last year.
Yep.
No, 2 years. Oh, wow. I mean, because the pandemic, we didn't have it.
Yep.
And you came out and did Fat Bottom Girls by Queen, and you crushed so hard. The crowd, they didn't know you at the time.
Yep.
But when you were done, they loved you. I couldn't get them to stop clapping.
It was wild. That was my first time playing the Ryman. I mean, I will never forget it. And got up there and, of course, sang Fat Bottom Girl.
But I just remember you crushing it so hard that the crowd was like, we don't know her yet, but we think we're going to know her.
That's the goal. Every time I get up there, I'm like, they don't know me from Adam. But when I get done with this, they're going to know me.
So what's the difference now in the feeling of when you have a song climbing the charts right now?
It's so strange. I mean, actually, I was at home in Louisiana not too long ago at Tractor Supply. And this guy came up to me. He was like, are you that girl that sings that song about what a man ought to know?
So he recognized you.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. You work at Tractor Supply, so I guess you do know a few things a man ought to know. But it's been interesting. It's just like you said a minute ago, I've always just kind of felt like my time was coming. I've never had a plan B. So at some point in time, it's got
to
work.
And you used to drive back and forth. And you used to tour. Like, you would go home.
Yep.
Like, you'd be here and try to make it, but then you had to pay the bills, so you would just drive home and play shows down there.
Yep. So I was living in a camper. And I lived in the camper the first 3 years I was here. And I was living in a studio parking lot. Somebody was just letting me live in their yard, basically, and letting me bum, their water and Wi-Fi. So I didn't have a whole lot of bills. I mean, I had to buy groceries and gas money and stuff like that. So I'd go home to Louisiana or Mississippi and just play as many shows as I could and just try to make ends meet. Yep.
Was there ever a time where you thought, man, I just don't know if I can do this, and I don't think I'm going to do this?
What's crazy is no. Like, I have to be a little borderline crazy, because there were times in my life where I should have packed my stuff and went home. Absolutely. But, I'm a little hard-headed, and I've just kind of always felt like, this is what I was born to do, and I'm going to figure out one way or another. And I've got really supportive parents, and my daddy's a farmer. And I've seen him, get up every single day and just do the dang thing. Work his fingers to the bone. And it's his livelihood. And he has bad years, good years. But at the end of the day, if you love it, you do it. So.
Are they so proud of you?
Oh, they're so tickled.
I mean, for them to turn on their local country station and hear their daughter on the radio.
Yeah.
What does that do for them?
Well, actually, Daddy was riding the tractor the other day, and they just got finished planting corn, and he called me, and it was really a full circle thing for me. It was just wild, because anytime I ever wanted to spend time with him, I'd have to go ride the tractor with him, because he was just always at it. So he called me, and I don't even remember what I was doing, but he just said, hey, I'm out here, I'm on the tractor out in the field, and I just wanted to let you know I just heard you on the countdown. And I was like, well, now I'm about to squall. So it was just, you could just hear it in his voice. He don't have to tell me that he's proud of me, but he is.
Man, that's so cool. Have you played a show? And I guess you probably haven't played a show back home.
I haven't.
Since, the pandemic. Because there hasn't been a lot of shows.
Nope.
Well, just now, are you starting to go out at all? Have you been out at all to play anything?
Yeah, so we've done some stuff out west. Idaho, Wyoming. we've got some stuff. Shoot, where are we going this weekend?
And see, that's the best thing.
Yeah.
Is when you start, because you're getting some, but when you forget where you're going, because you're just like 100 miles an hour, things are coming at you. Like, congratulations. Because when I saw you go, oh, where are we going? Like, that's the first step in just making it.
Yeah.
Like, thank God you get to go, I'm running so hard and I'm so tired that I can't remember. That's the greatest blessing.
I'm so pumped. Like, cannot get out there quick enough. I mean, yeah, we're in Austin and Decatur, Illinois this weekend, and it's just nice to see people.
Yeah, the first time you play a show back home, you're going to be just so moved. I mean,
you about to make me cry.
To have your people sing your music back is going to be another milestone for you.
Yep. Here and there, like I've seen, like in a few different places, like we played somewhere in Arizona, and I saw some people singing a lot of the songs, and I mean, I've never seen that. And it did make me feel all warm and fuzzy, and I was like, wow, this is like what you work so hard for, you know, for people to just connect and latch on to something. And I mean, that's a songwriter's dream, you know, so.
My hometown's 700 people. Your hometown, Baskin, is 300.
Yeah. So what? You know how it is.
I mean, apparently I live in the big city compared to Baskin. I'm New York City. What? We have the Yum Yum shop and a gas station. We don't have any traffic lights. What's Baskin like?
We have like a gas station and a half, I guess you would. I mean, it's literally like, I don't even know if it's a gas station anymore. We have a caution light, a bunch of cornfields, and that's about it. It's actually called the Village of Baskin.
What makes it a village?
Heck if I know. Like, I mean, just every time I'm like, I'm from the town of Baskin, my parents correct me, and they're like, no, it's the Village of Baskin. That's just what it says on the Welcome to the Village of Baskin sign.
You're going to tour with Jason Aldean.
Yes.
How did that come to you? Did you hear from him? What happened?
Just so crazy. I know. So we're at the same label, and I know a lot of the people over there have been like sending my music for a while, and his manager called my manager and said, y'all know that girl y'all been bugging us about for 2 years now? Well, Jason wants her to be on the road with him. I was like, what in the world? Now my people back at home really think I'm doing something with my life.
Man, that's
took me long enough.
Okay. Lainey, you're going to play a couple songs for us?
I'll do it.
Okay, we bring in some stuff in?
Let's do it.
All right, you guys, check out Lainey on Instagram while they're getting all this up. You can follow Lainey on Instagram. It's at Lainey Wilson Music. And you guys check out her album, Say What I'm Thinking. That's the record. You can go stream Things a Man Ought to Know wherever you listen to music. And she's fantastic. I've been a fan for literally years, and to see her blow up is extremely gratifying for me, to see someone that has just been grinding it out and is also so good. So
thank you for having me.
All right, here she is, Lainey Wilson.
So this is about where I'm from. When I moved here, I told everybody I was from LA. They thought I was talking about Hollywood, but I was talking about Louisiana. My name ain't on every list, but they say I'm where the party is. I drive a Beamer through the mud. Well, I'm kind of redneck Hollywood. When you say LA, I think Louisiana, Lower Alabama, stars up in the sky. And I been to California, way too far from Georgia, but one day I might. Bet there's more of us around, from a different name, same small town. Gucci lace can dress it up, but country is as country does. When you say LA, I think Louisiana, Lower Alabama, stars up in the sky. And I've been to California, way too far from Georgia, but one day I might. But one day I might. When you say Perry on and do Dixie cups, kind of redneck Hollywood. Joplin meets Naomi Judd, kind of redneck.
You're so good. You're just so good, and you're loud at the same time, and it's hard to be good and loud. And you do both.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, Lainey Wilson, you guys, as she retunes, follow her at Lainey Wilson Music. If you see her coming to town, go support her. Buy her merch. You have any merch up right now?
Oh, yeah. We got all kind of merch.
Where?
On my website, LaineyWilson.com.
That's how you can support a new artist. Like, honest to God, that's it. People are always like, how do I support a new artist? Sure, you can stream the songs, but help out. Buy cool merch that she has. So also subscribe to this channel, Control Music. If you guys see it, hit subscribe. They have so much good stuff on this channel. So I was just vamping basically. We tuned up, got ready to go.
I'm ready to roll.
All right, tell us what we got here.
We're gonna play the single. By the way, this is my right hand man, Aslan. Makes me sound good. So this is gonna be, golly, I'm just so proud of this song, how it's connecting to people and people are latching on to it. And I mean, this song ain't about changing a tire or starting a fire. I mean, you can YouTube all that. At the end of the day, this song is just about treating people right. It's about having good character, something that my parents really tried to teach me and staying firm on. So it's something that every single one of us ought to know. Here's things a man ought to know. I can hook a trailer on a 2-inch hitch. I can shoot a shotgun, I can catch a fish. And I can change a tire on the side of a road. Yeah, I know a few things a man ought to know. Things a man ought to know. Yeah, I know a few things a man ought to know.
So good, Lainey Wilson. Woo! Just A+. Man, just love everything about you.
Your
voice, and not just your singing voice, like what you stand for.
Thank you.
And your style, and so it's just so cool to see you make that next jump.
Dude, thank you for believing in me.
I love to see you tired.
Oh my gosh, yeah, man.
That's the greatest. You should be.
Yep.
You should be. They should be running you so hard.
They are running me ragged.
Excited.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, of course.
Let's do it.
You'll get your own mental health time soon enough. But right now, you're all good. All right, there is Lainey Wilson. You guys, get some merch. You can help her out. Just get a shirt off her website,
right.
LaineyWilson.com.
That's it.
Really helps the new artists. And that's it. That's our show. And so thank you guys. Thanks to Twitch, Control Music, and all of our crew here to help put the show on. But most importantly, thanks to you guys for watching and spending your Tuesday night with me. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're right here with me, and I appreciate that. So I'll leave you with this piece of wisdom that, you know, I've talked about forever. You know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. If you haven't done it already, well, the second best time is now. What does that mean? It means that if you want success in life, you got to act right now. Mm-hmm. You can't get better at something if you're not putting effort in and trying. Listen, I failed time after time, was rejected by everybody, radio stations, book publishers, TV stations, on and on and on. I had to beg Lainey just to come do the show. She rejected me 9 times to even be here today. So if you feel like the world is passing you by and that you can't keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians or the TikTok stars or whoever that Gen Z looks up to these days, it is never too late to get started and try. You can be someone they look up to. You can change the narrative. Have a great night. I'll see you next time here on the show that we call On Time with Bobby Bones. Don't forget, be excellent to each other. Party on. Good night, everybody. Bye, guys.
Hey, this is Joe.
And Colin.
From the Biz Tape Podcast. A podcast that serves as a catch-all for music, business, and media news of the week.
Subscribe and listen to the Biz Tape on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. So DMX sadly passed away at 50 years old, like on April 9th. I mean, it was a real bummer. My friend group was really into DMX, so like they were all very, you know, saddened about it. And I listened to a lot of his music, so I was kind of sad about everything. But the real question now is like, what's going on with his estate? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's had all these records and stuff, and his 15 children would also like to know. Yeah.
Oh my God.
15 children. No shame at having 15 children, but splitting something 15 ways is really hard to do.
How many kids did Bob Marley have, just for comparison?
I don't know. Let's see what it is.
Here, let's look it up. Let's see.
While Joe looks that up, we're going to play this game where basically I'm going to get y'all to guess how much you think DMX's royalties are, and I'll define royalties here in a minute. Joe, you got anything?
Yeah. Okay. Just for comparison, Bob Marley has 11 kids.
Okay. So DMX beat him.
Yeah.
All right. That's nuts. So also that bitter estate battle in there too.
Yeah.
So this is going to get rough. But Billboard did a fun thing where they tried to guess using some calculations, which I'll get into in a second, how much kind of his catalog of music is worth. So this revenue is coming from his master recordings and his publishing. And this is all speculative. Like they have like some kind of comments that they base off and I'll define it.
Yeah, but they don't know the exact number.
Right. And for our, you know, viewers that may not know, we're talking about master recording royalties, which is the money that the label makes him for quote unquote exploiting records. So this is like streaming CDs and stuff like that. The actual recordings.
Yeah. And exploiting in the good way of right. just marketing.
That's
and like
just how every label contract will say, we get to exploit your master recording.
Yeah.
Then the other side of the money is the publishing money, the publishing royalties, and that's money paid to the songwriter, which is DMX in this case, for copies of his song that are made. So we're talking about streaming CDs, but this also includes sync deals and anything else that you actually need publishing rights for. Also, this can be, you know, made smaller by co-writers. So keep that in mind. So Joe, I'm going to give you some notable DMX facts.
Okay.
And with this information, I want you to guess. I will say this. Let's start out. It's obviously more than zero. So the easy one there for you.
Yeah.
And it's less than your highball when we were talking about it earlier, which Joe still doesn't know, than
$50 million. $50
million. Okay. So it's in between zero and $50 million if you're keeping it at home.
Okay.
So here's some fun facts that may raise or lower your guess. On the Billboard Top 100, he has appeared 16 times, 11 times as a lead artist, but only has beat the top 43 times, with the highest at 17.
Okay.
So, he had a lot of hits, but nothing like crazy. He didn't have a number one, didn't have anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, which is nuts, and most people will be like, I think blindsided this because I was. He is the first artist ever to have their first five albums go number one on the Billboard 200.
Wow.
Five in a row. That has never been done before.
Debut, and the
next four were number one.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. All right, this calculation was made assuming he has a 50-50 publishing deal with a publishing entity. So he's basically splitting his royalty of publishing money in half. Mm-hmm. On top, like I was saying earlier, of having other songs that could have co-writers, which then he'd have to split it even more.
Okay.
So just keep in mind, his publishing money is 50% because we're assuming he had a publishing deal. And then the calculation for his master recording royalty was made that he gets an 18% royalty on physical sales and a 22% on digital sales. And then I didn't add this in here, Joe, but we're assuming that he's recouped. He doesn't owe anything to the label. He doesn't have like anything from publishing or anything like that.
Yeah. So this would be, so just to be clear,
yeah,
this is the money that he's pocketing.
This
right.
is the money he's pocketing.
After the split.
After the labels cut, after this publishing entity cut, and after, you know, co-writers are taking cuts of stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
This is the evaluation of all of that money. How much money do you think this money is worth? Again, between zero and $50 million.
Hmm.
Here, I'll make it fun. I will give you
I'll give you one guess and I'll tell you higher or lower, and then you get another guess.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Also, don't look at the Word document because I'll
gotcha.
I'll
yeah, see I'm gonna okay. I'm gonna look away. So I'm thinking, because like with any artist like this, whenever they pass away, they do have a spike in sales and streams.
Very smart move here.
And I think maybe it's valued higher now than what it could be maybe 3 or 4 years down the line. But I'm going to say you said less than 50 million.
Less than 50 million.
Okay. I'm going to highball it still. I'm going to say like 35 million.
Lower.
Lower than that.
Lower.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Also, I'm like lower than 35 million. This man isn't, you know, $0. This is a very...
This is going to be insane, isn't
it?
It's going to be a stupid number, isn't it?
I don't think it's stupid. I think it makes sense based on what I told you, but it's...
Okay.
So we're lower than 35 people.
Okay, I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to go pretty low. I'm going to say 10 million.
Okay, well, it's actually half of your first number, basically. It is $17.7 million.
Oh, man.
That has to get split up between 15 children.
And he had five number ones.
He had five number one albums.
Albums.
Which is kind of important in this case. All right, so I want to open this up. So first off, this estate is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, because there's so many kids.
15 people have claims to this money. 15. And not to mention that they have to pay lawyer fees. If maybe he has debt or anything like that, they have to get that together and everything. This money is up there like the Michael Jackson estate and being fought over, and Prince's estate and being fought over and trying to figure out what's going on with this money.
Years.
And yeah. Like the point is that the longer they wait on this money, you know what I mean? It's like the longer they wait, the more fees get taken out. They got to pay place, you know, if he has property, they got to pay the property. If he's got, you know, the longer the lawyer has to work, the more money that is. Mm-hmm. And then again, 15 times. So like this is a big deal. I mean, and I literally was talking to a friend of ours who's a lawyer and she was like, man, I would love to see those documents. Like, so, I mean,
see it or work on it. I feel like working on it would be insanely stressful.
I would not want to work on it unless they were like, we will give you our portion of the 17 million.
Absolutely which, not. Like, and he had no will or anything.
I don't know about that yet. They haven't really specified specifically, but even then with a will, it can be contested.
Yeah.
It can have issues with that. I mean, okay. First off, I just did the calculation. If we evenly split it 15 ways, it's 1.18 mil.
Wow.
Okay. And then here's the other part that we're completely forgetting. This isn't liquid money. Yeah. So this is like money that can come in and grow in value, which is funny that you said that you think it'll go down because Billboard actually has the opposite for an interesting reason for our listeners is because they think the publishing money will grow because traditionally rock and roll music has the highest kind of publishing rate because mm-hmm. it's very songwriter focused. But there's been an increase in the industry, and Billboard predicted this, and I've seen this in other places, that rap's publishing revenue will increase
over time
due to the fan base becoming larger. People who, you know, since rock and roll is older and older, since the fan base of rock and roll diminishes as it, you know, becomes less of a primary genre. And then the, you know, kids that grew up specifically with just rap and hip hop as the main genre grow, then you could see that getting more expensive.
Yeah. It's actually interesting because if you compare the two genres, there's a lot of similarities in how they grew and where they are
right.
in their place, basically. Like even it's almost like 1-to-1 time frame of like between, you know, some dude in his basement to now it's like mainstream arena tours
right.
happening. So that is very interesting. And I actually never thought of that.
Though. Yeah. Isn't that, it's such a weird thing to think about, but you know, I mean, it makes sense. But so that publishing money, you know, assuming that they're going to keep that rate going and everything, then, that could be just increasing in value. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing is like, who needs this money? You know, especially if it's publishing money and they have rights of it and it's like 15 people have to get together and figure out, are we selling our publishing rights? that's a problem. Like, that's just going to be hard to do. And I'm sure somebody will be, you know what I mean? Like, if some publishing company came up to them and was like, oh, we would like to buy the remainder of the publishing split, you have to go clear that with 15 people.
Yeah.
You know,
all so, 15, or do you, would you, oh, I guess, yeah,
depending
all
15, if they have,
because like you wouldn't get, you wouldn't, it wouldn't be split up.
Depending if they have legitimacy of the rights, also. Like, yeah. Again, this is,
well, I'm you wondering know,
with
too,
the like, will and stuff like that. I mean, and
what if one kid had like one album and the other kid had,
oh,
the other
that would
album?
Be hilarious. no, I mean, it's just more of like, it depends on his will and everything and how that is. And like, we've seen, the crazy part is we've seen celebrities with no will. Prince had no will at all.
That's still nuts to me.
No will. And so like, I have no idea, you know, it's up in the air if he had a will and had that like all put together and if that will's legitimate to be used. And finally, my point is Joe may remember from our MTSU days, recapturing of works is up on the table. So if you don't know about this, basically, to summarize this way down, there is a policy in copyright law where you can recapture ownership of your songs, basically. And that can be the publishing money and the songwriter money. It's the master recordings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a very long process. You have to wait, I believe, 35 years to do it. Now, the 35 years for DMX for like the 1998 recordings, which are like the beginning of the really valuable recordings of his career, would become... could come into ownership as soon as 2033, but it's an extensive filing process to get all that together.
Yeah, you have to be on the ball with it.
You have to file 10 years before.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have to file in 2023, and then that enables them to have full ownership of those recordings. So their old label that he was under would not have ownership of those recordings. If they get it to do right, we've seen like a passing story even the other day where Dwight Yoakam's getting denied his rights because he might have been 5 days late.
Yeah.
That's
and,
how serious
and it
might have
been
are.
Because of the label not
seeing it,
like not sending it in time.
Not to go into another story, but just as proof of like, you know, this is messy.
Yeah, it gets very messy.
So if they get that though, then they can renegotiate to have those records exploited with another company and then maybe even get a better deal. You know what I mean? And make more money. And then usually when you make a deal like that with a big catalog, they might give you an advance, you know what I mean? Or something like that.